Can make things a lot better. Thanks. Bye-bye. The name of the men's conference is now the Men Who Are Married to Women of Faith Conference. All taken care of, boys. All right. Wow, sometimes dealing with the truth can be a tough issue. And we're going to be looking at that subject matter tonight. If you brought your Bibles with you, now would be a good time for you to get them out. We'll be going back to the book of Ephesians. We are going to really begin the home stretch of the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Paul had covered a vast array of information in this letter, this book as we know it, the book of Ephesians. Some of these things included who God is and how God operates with us. Paul talked about Jesus' rescuing work on the cross. He talked about the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's family. Paul also talked about unity between believers. He talked about family units and the responsibilities of children and their parents. And even, as you saw last week, he talked about our work habits, where we are employed. And now, here in chapter 6 at verse 10, something really cool happens. After all of the theology, the knowledge about God in chapters 1 through 3, and then all of the practical application of it, how do we live our lives because of what we know about God in chapters 4 through 5, Paul says, all right, now that you have that, let me pull back the curtain and show you what's going on all around you that you're not seeing. So let's read that. Here we are in chapter 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand against all strategies of the devil. Here's the key. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Gang, Paul states very emphatically that our lives are are spiritual battlegrounds, and that we are in the midst of battle even as you sit here tonight. You don't see it, but there are spiritual beings warring over your life. You don't see it, but there are spiritual beings warring over our actions. And they are warring over our well-being and status with God. Paul says, don't for a second think that you are not involved, or that it's not real, because it is real and it is going on. Kelly talked about how we took the young people to Safe Harbor last Sunday. You know, it sounds really nice when you talk about it here. Hey, let's go to a homeless shelter, right? Visit with some homeless people until you get there. It's not a happy place. It's not a wonderful place. And the people who are there have tough lives and rough lives. One of our young people came up to me, and they were all shook up, really sick, almost sick. And I grabbed them, and I took them away. I said, what's the matter? And he said, I think I just saw a person I was talking to do a drug deal with someone else. This person who has no food and barely any clothes took out a roll of money. It was a 20 on the outside, and handed it to some other guy, and he gave him a hard-pack case of cigarettes that had been opened, that there was something inside, obviously. And this young person was all shaken up. And I says, don't forget, there's a spiritual battle being fought around here. Spiritual battle being fought everywhere. But here, the powers of darkness are very strong. Very strong. So when your spirit of light is shaken up, you can be sure it's because there are things going on around you that are dealing with you spiritually. We pulled them aside and bolstered them back up, but it's real. I haven't had a lot of involvement with it, but it's real. And I knew at that moment, dark powers have their hand in places like that. And this young person was feeling it. Paul is saying that everything that he's covered in his letter that we've covered over a period of months now everything involved in it is going to be a spiritual battle. Young people, when you are offered alcoholic beverages, there's a spiritual battle going on right there in that moment. Powers of darkness are at war with powers of light right there. Friends, when you're tempted to give up on your marriage, there's a spiritual battle that is going on in that moment. Powers of darkness fighting against powers of light. When we're tempted to lie, to conceal, to harm someone, to compromise, or to give in to sin, you're standing at the front line of a spiritual battle. A battle that can destroy or seriously hamstring your life here on earth. And some of these battles are even to keep you from eternity. Paul says, make no mistake, you're in a battle for your life. You're in a battle for your life to the full. Or even death by deception. So God has given you tools, Paul is saying. God's given you tools. He's given you weapons. He's given you protective gear so you can win these battles and make it home safe and sound. Verse 13, Paul says this. Therefore, knowing what we know, that there's a spiritual battle going on all the time for us, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Paul starts, and as I ended it there, Paul starts quite insightfully by telling us the first thing God gives us, the first thing we need to be able to handle these battles with the belt of truth. Now, what is Paul talking about here? What is this thing God has given us? Well, when it came to Roman armor, the belt was the foundational piece. It's used to support and carry much of the rest of the armor and weapons. The belt was put on first, and you had to be comfortable with it on you. That is because the chest plate was cinched to that belt. The belt would ensure that the breastplate would stay in place and not slide up. The soldier's heavy shield would rest on a clip that was on that belt. And the sword was attached to the belt for easy access. Paul is saying that this vital foundational piece, this first component that everything will rest on, you and my belt for life's battles, needs to be truth. I know that belts really aren't very flashy. This is my climbing belt. And I was thinking about this as I was thinking about or doing the study on this belt of truth. This thing isn't flashy. It isn't really even something people see. You know, the belt of truth was not decorated beautifully. Instead, it's just plain outright pivotal. It's a necessary piece of equipment that we can't stay alive spiritually without. When I climb a tree with spikes on my feet, or used to climb trees, I'm too heavy for that these days, but this belt would go around my waist, and then around the tree would go the smaller belt. You're safe. With your picks dug into the tree, you can lean back, and it kept you safe and sound. It was so vitally important. So dependable, and it kept me from harm. Now, our basest, most securing piece of equipment as a follower of Jesus Christ, Paul tells us, has to be truth. To hold up our shield of faith, we got to rest it on truth. To wield our sword of the Spirit, God's word, that is the Bible, it must first have made its home in the truth of who we are. The truth of what we live in the foundations of our inner beings, the truth of who we are at our very privatest parts, you might say. The truth must be something that we can wear comfortably. We have to be comfortable with the truth about ourselves. Comfortable so that we can deal with the reality of who we are. Truth and reality have to become a part of us. God is saying that we must deal with what is really going on and actual in our lives, not get caught up in fiction about ourselves, not get caught up in denial of who we are, and not get caught up in whimsy, because truth is what will work at the foundation of everything we're going to do in a spiritual battle. Whimsy doesn't work. I know in the fire department, I became an officer not that many years ago, and when I did, you have to deal with the men, you have to deal with what's coming down from the top, and you have to bring these things to the men, let them know, and I really couldn't stand the fact that they would always come up with something other than giving them the truth. I remember when I was actually going for a driver's job, and before I was an officer, and I didn't get the driving job, and I couldn't believe I didn't get it, because I had the time, I had everything going for me, there was no reason why I shouldn't have gotten it, they gave it to somebody else. So I went to the person who made the decision, and I said, why didn't I get that job? I need to know. And they were like, well, the other guy has more time than you, I thought. Now, I knew he wasn't telling the truth. And it just kind of demoralizes you. Other times, they'll say, why did this thing go down on the fire department? Why did this happen? And they'll say, well, don't tell them the truth. Tell them this. And I found that I haven't been able to come through on those orders too well. And what's good is my boss tends to be someone who wants to tell the truth to the men as well. We find that when we have to go to them and tell them what happened, whether it's good or bad, the best thing to do is just give them the ugly truth, and they can deal with that. People do best dealing with reality. I have often seen this armor, these armor items that we're talking about here, as children's toys in Christian bookstores, but gang, they're no toys. These are not toys. The belt of truth is a serious item in one's life because it is much more than just good theology, knowing about God. It's much more than just knowing what the Bible says. That weapon is coming up later. The belt of truth is worn as an honest appraisal and an awareness of who you really are. It's an honest appraisal and awareness of what you do, how you think, how you act, where you are headed, and most importantly, the truth about your relationship with God. Remember, God is giving us all this armor and weaponry so we can fight spiritual battles that are constantly a part of our everyday life. So, point one tonight on this is the belt of truth causes you to acknowledge who you are. One of the things I am very thankful for around this group of people called Westbridge is that you people constantly wear the belt of truth. I love that. We strive to be truthful and honest about who we are. Now, I assure you guys, let me say this. I assure you that I am the same person that you see here on Saturday nights as I am at the firehouse. I do not live a secret or double life. I do not go to work and tell dirty jokes. I do not curse and use those words as normal adjectives. I am as committed to Jesus at the firehouse as I am right here in front of you. The belt of truth, cinched around my waist, sees to that. Yet, I am far from perfect. And I admit who I am because the belt of truth that Paul says we must wear tells me that's what I must do. Admit who I am, the good and the bad. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I have that because I have made a conscious decision to ask Jesus into my heart and forgive me. The belt of truth also compels me to admit honestly that I can be moody The belt of truth also compels me to admit honestly that my passion can lead me to erupt and speak unlovingly to people. I am impatient at time with others, and all of these things need to change in me. But I'm not hiding them. I'm not hiding them from you. I'm not hiding them from God. And more importantly, I'm not hiding them from me. The belt of truth forces me to recognize that I own the issues that make me who I am. I like the Goethe quote that says this: "The man with insight enough to admit his limitations comes nearest to perfection." In God's army, soldiers must be aware, and they must be honest and live in the reality of who they are. So when I head into my day with all the spiritual battles that I will face, that Paul says where everything's a spiritual battle, the belt of truth has made me aware of what I am. And being aware of my weaknesses and my strengths is half the battle. One writer put it this way: "Don't even think of going out to a battle if you are misdirected as to who you are." I have seen, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I have seen people on American Idol who say that they are a terrific singer. They even say that they are gonna be the next American Idol. Well, then the belt of truth comes out. If they put on the belt of truth, it would compel them to say, "I can't sing very well, and my mother would be the only one to buy my album." People proclaim, "I am not an alcoholic." If they put on the belt, they would tell the truth that says, "I am an alcoholic." Remember, you know, gang, this is really the first key. This belt of truth, Bill figured it out years ago at AA. The first thing people at AA say is put on the belt and come clean. Tell the truth who you are. "Hi, I'm Spike. I'm an alcoholic." Belt of truth. You will win battles when you are dealing with truth. Friends, the easiest way to lose a spiritual battle is to fool yourself into thinking you're something you're not. The belt of truth causes you to acknowledge who you are. And Paul says, we need that as a starting point. Next, let's consider number two. The belt of truth causes us to acknowledge what we do. Now, the belt of truth, gang, is not designed to be an offensive weapon. That's coming later, okay? We got six of these. We're going to go through all of them one a week. The belt of truth is designed to be a defensive weapon. It keeps everything clearly focused and understood. It defends us from being misdirected or even delusional. It does this by making us truthfully deal and see our own reality. The reality of who we are, and number two, the reality of what we do. See, wearing the belt of truth asks you to be honest about what are you doing and what are you presenting to the world in front of you. Paul says, cinch it up. Cinch that belt up tight, the belt of truth. And it says to you, all right, get real. What are you doing that will help you? And what are you doing that will harm you? Be honest. Cinch that belt of truth up tight, Paul says. First thing, before you even head out, pull it up tight and then let that belt say to you truthfully, be honest. What are you doing that grows your love for God? And what are you doing that pulls you away from God? You know, the belt of truth of what we do, and showing us the truth of what we do. The belt of truth has shown me that spouting Bible verses will not win people to Jesus Christ if I am unloving and unkind to them. That's what the belt of truth shows me. The belt of truth has shown me that talking spiritually with the praise the Lords and the God bless yous will not touch people's hearts if I'm cheap or if I'm unhelpful to people. The belt of truth tells us to look at what we are doing and determine if this behavior is the behavior of a soldier of light or a soldier of darkness. I am so happy with the response we have had here at Westbridge to the opportunity to go to the Family Life Marriage Conference. Here is an opportunity to put on the belt of truth, acknowledge that my marriage can be better, and then doing what it takes to get to that conference. We have people there tonight. Each one that comes back from that conference, and I've been too, tell me how awesome it is for them, how eye-opening it was. You see, the belt of truth that Paul wants us to wear, first and foremost, causes us to admit the reality of what we are doing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. For some, the belt of truth will cause them to say, I am fighting for my children. I am battling to have a positive relationship with my kids. I'm following God, and I have His power working inside of me. Put that on, Paul says, before you head out, or before those children come home, and you'll know what you're really dealing with. For others, the belt will strengthen them to say, the truth is, I'm not who I once was. Jesus has changed me. I no longer give in to every single temptation that comes my way. I've learned to forgive offenses committed against me. The truth is, I do read my Bible. The truth that's coming right out of his belt is that I have grown in my knowledge of God. I take advantage of Bible studies. I go to groups. I take every opportunity to become more like Jesus. And you know what? My choices, the belt of truth is telling me that my choices are filtered through, as Pastor Scott taught us, the past, present, and the future. And I strive for healthy, life-giving decisions over those that were once dysfunctional and life-robbing. God wants us to wear the belt of truth because it reminds us of our victories, just like God promised in John 8:32. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Gang, the belt of truth is designed to be a mirror that shows us exactly what we are doing so we can understand how it will affect the spiritual battles we face. Last point. The belt of truth causes us to acknowledge where you are with God. Remember, this tool is used for fighting spiritual battles that are in and around our life every day. I was speaking to a woman one time who told me that she lost a child before that child reached the age of 5. And I asked her, how in the world does someone get through something like that? And she told me, well, the truth is, God had me in his arms. He held me the whole time, and he never let go of me. She had the belt of truth on, and she knew she was connected to a God who wanted the best for her, even in times of difficulty that sometimes we can't understand. Wearing the belt of truth has us constantly acknowledge and has us constantly evaluate our relationship with God. There are times that the truth of my relationship with God is, Drew, you're taking advantage of God. You're taking God for granted. You haven't spent time with him like you're supposed to. You haven't been reading your Bible as much as you should or talking about him. How in the world are you going to think you're going to win spiritual battles if you don't strengthen the spirit inside of you?
The belt of truth tells us those things to make us change and head in the direction we should be. You can see why Paul would have, why God would have Paul write and say that the belt of truth is the foundational piece that we have to put on and we have to be comfortable wearing. Without God shining the light of truth on who we are and what we do and where we stand with him, we don't stand a prayer against the spiritual battles that attack our lives daily. So, tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to put on the belt of truth. Cinch it up tight and let God talk to you in regards to where you stand with him. I'm going to ask the band to come back and the worship leaders to come back. I don't know where you're at in your journey with God. Maybe you've known about God, but you never really stepped forward and threw your arms around Jesus and say, I need you. I need you to take away my sins because of what you did on the cross. I need you to take the steering wheel of my life and guide me where you want it to go. Maybe you haven't had that opportunity, and maybe cinching up the belt of truth in your heart can tell you to be honest about where you are with your relationship with God. Or maybe you have connected with Jesus. Maybe you're a person who has been saved by what Jesus Christ has done, but you're really not following God. You know, if you look in the New Testament, Jesus always tells people, follow me. Follow me. That's what he asks them to do. Follow me. Imitate me. Do what I do. Learn of me and do as I do. Maybe you're here tonight and if you put the belt of truth on tight, you'd realize that I haven't really been following God, following what he does, following his ways, following his attitudes, and imitating him. Well, as the band plays one final song, it's really between you and God. Nobody sitting next to you, not me. Talk to him. Say it's time, as the band starts to play, to pull the belt tight. Be honest. Deal with reality. Who are you? What are you doing? And where do you stand with Jesus Christ?